Hello, everyone. This is Ron Stefanski, the host of Disrupt Ed, where we get the chance to talk to these interesting disruptors, people who are changing the game in various industries and various ways, but they're having incredible impact in what I always describe as this 5G wired workforce augmented technology, interconnected, globally interdependent, AI accelerated, Web3 immersive, pandemic interrupted world of work. Now, I also caution you, if you know, I'm just giving you an out, if you can say those words three times fast, then you probably won't be interested in what we're going to talk about. But today, I'm going to completely geek out with my guest. I've been dying to have her on my show for some time now. I'm so excited to have her, and I'll tell you the reason why. Liz Van Zure is a thought leader par excellence in the world of marketing, and I geek out about marketing on many occasions. But what I find fascinating about Liz is she has done this time and again. She quadrupled sales of the VW when she worked as a marketing executive at the VW. She went on to General Motors and worked on Hummer and Cadillac. These are big brands that she's worked on. She's gone on to do many other such successes, Wahlburgers Restaurant, for example. And now her attention is turned to a brand that I'm totally fascinated with. I just bought their product recently and we'll geek out about that separately. But today we're talking to Liz Van Zure, the chief marketing officer currently of Solo Brands and the Solo Stove that you may be aware of. And she's also sitting on the board of directors. And Liz, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Ron. It's a pleasure.
Well, so let's start. You know, I always like to hear where people began their journeys. And you have such an iconic portfolio of successes. I kind of want to hear how you think you made that work. How you know, a lot of people start somewhere, they sort of fade, they may come back. You've consistently crushed it. And so I want to hear a little bit about your story. You started out in engineering, right? Yeah. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So most people kind of think of me as a Detroit car girl. And I got my roots growing up in Detroit, very loving, middle-class family. My mom and dad were from Germany and Austria. I'm first generation. It definitely instilled a very big education focus in me. And I was one of the first, you know, classes of true mechanical engineers in the auto business. And I really wanted to get into marketing, but the key to getting into marketing in the automotive business at that time was really understanding engineering. My father was a tool and die maker. My brother, one of my brothers, is a mechanical engineer. He actually still works for General Motors. And so I pursued that degree to kind of enter the automotive world. And in terms of a journey, it was really interesting. I'd love to say it was all planned, but it was not. Worked really hard and got very fortunate. My first automotive brand marketing job was at Pontiac. And I love mentioning it because I was the assistant brand manager on the Pontiac Sunfire. And I sat next to the Bonneville and the Grand Prix, you know, brand managers. And I learned a lot about that. But I think a lot of it was taking the engineering and applying it in that analytics, that kind of curious
context or framework
and approach to marketing at the time. And also so that you can understand product development and consumer insights. And so I started my engineering background in consumer insight work, product planning, you know, talking to lots of customers about what they wanted in future products, and got a really good background that I used and leveraged still to this day in marketing. And I think, you know, when you ask about how that went, when you grow up in Detroit, and shout out to Detroit and the Detroit Lions, huge fan. Yay, Dan Campbell and the guys, big game coming up. But anyway, I think when you get into the Detroit car business, it's actually, you know, I went from brand to brand to brand. I worked on Pontiac. I then got a big opportunity to work on the Beetle and launch Volkswagen's Drivers Wanted campaign. I was on that for about 5 or 6 years. And that was also a turnaround situation at the time. VW was debating whether they were going to stay in the United States and North America. And then they had a whole new lineup that was coming. So I was part of that brand turnaround team and got a chance to launch many products, including the Beetle, and bring it worldwide, which was great to experience. Then Hummer. Hummer was next. A former GM executive recruited me back to General Motors, and I got a chance to launch the Hummer brand, which is amazing. Just a brand from scratch, and really, you know, carved the narrative from the H1 military style to, you know, what is out there today. And then Cadillac, and then moved to Boston. And when we moved to Boston, continued in marketing and actually ended up working on the agency side. So switch sides of the fence. I actually highly recommend that, working as a client and on the agency. You get a much appreciation for what it takes to do the actual work behind the scenes. And I worked on Toyota at the time. We won the Toyota brand when we were in Detroit, that when I moved to Boston. So I actually was in automotive. It wasn't until later when I got a chance to kind of branch out beyond automotive. I got into the consumer world and Boston Beer, launched the Truly Spiked and Sparkling brand with the team over there, worked on Boston Children's Hospital, and then got a chance to work with Fanatics, Sharpie, so many different brands. And I think the journey that I took was I followed my passion. I love getting in the heads of consumers and bringing those insights to life, whether they're in product development. And I love doing special limited models or colors or promos to kind of that capture attention, or really understanding what motivates the why behind the purchase and then bringing that to life. And I'm sort of media agnostic, from experiences to media to product, all the, you know, and bringing those out into market. And that's what I really love to do. And I stuck to that no matter where I landed. And that's sort of what I enjoy and I get a lot of passion around. And now I get a chance to do that again with Solo Stove, which I can't wait to talk about it with you, because it's been another just amazing journey to talk to people like yourself who are owners that are so passionate about the brand.
So first of all, to your parents, Ausgezeichnet.
Exactly.
Yes.
Thanks.
I spent a year, I lived in Austria. I went to school there. I have I now have an adopted family there for the last 40 years. Loved it. So I just throw that in there. I think it's wonderful that you have that experience. But yeah, let's talk. You know, one of the things you said that really strikes me is this idea of getting into consumers' heads, because if I had a criticism about a lot of marketing people, they almost in a practical day-to-day way sort of stay at the very superficial level of consumers. You know, they're happy to get the information from a survey or from some data. But, you know, iconic brands really dig into people's heads in a lot deeper way. So can you kind of talk about how, you know, you develop that, but when you obviously mentor others in the marketing role, how do you get them to see it from that perspective?
You know, it's really interesting. And I do believe, again, that kind of came from the beginning of my training when I worked in consumer insights and market research. One of my first jobs when I was interning and then right out of college was working on future product planning, doing consumer insight work, talking to customers in all different ways. And it can be from sophisticated modeling. At that time, it was conjoint analysis, to really talking to consumers, looking at the data, but it's the why behind the data. And I think if you ask any great advertiser or folks that are really trying to connect, the insight is what actually connects with people. It's not just what they wrote down or sometimes what they say, it's what's behind it, what's really the motivation behind it. And I remember I'll give you an example of it with Hummer when we launched Hummer, the Hummer brand. And I remember, and I loved that dealer group. The dealers are frontliners. They know, they talk to customers every day. They're one of the best sources of information you could ever get on consumers. Not to be underestimated, same with retailers now, but the dealers, when I worked with them on the Hummer brand in particular, were the best of the best. They were chosen from GM. They were awarded the Hummer brand. And when we were talking to them and we were going to launch it, I remember we were recommending we were going to launch it in yellow. We were going to try to appeal to women. And it was so interesting. And they were pushing back on me and they were pushing back on me. But we had a really good dealer council. And they were like, why in the world would you launch this in yellow? And actually, we were going to shoot it like a piece of jewelry. So imagine this military Arnold Schwarzenegger base H1 product, which could not be more male. 95%, 99% almost were men that drove that product. They were very sophisticated entrepreneurs, all different types. We used to call them successful achievers or rugged individualists. But the big insight was that's true. And most of them, they were wealthy. They were successful. A lot of them were entrepreneurial, very opinionated. And some of them would, you know, they would say, you know, this was one of their five cars they had. But one of the big insights we learned was that's true. And they made a lot of decisions in their companies and they made a lot of decisions. But when it came to the married guys, guess what? They had, so we used to say 90 to 95% made, you know, were the buyers of Hummer, but the number one influence was their wives. Whether their wife would give them permission to get that. You had to park it in the garage. You had to take care of it. Where were you going to put it? If she wanted to drive it, if she was going to be with the kids. And so it was interesting when we launched it in yellow. We had a man and a woman in the driver's seat. We actually did a campaign around a mom bringing it to school with her kids in the back. And the kindergartner's like, oh, you can pull up to school, because that big insight of kids not wanting to be seen with their parents. Well, in the H2, they really wanted to drive up because they were the cool kid.
Right.
So we really went behind the scenes and they were like, you know what? You're right. So I was letting them know at that time that our big insight was if we can expand the market with H2 beyond the military image, not walk from it, but embrace that and expand it, that we could really expand the potential because the H2 was going after a much bigger market. And you know what? It was interesting. They were like, you know what? We see that. You're correct. You know, there is a hurdle to get over there. So if she felt comfortable driving it, then he could get the product. And again, that's yeah. one of the, that's just an example of the insight. So it's a lot of, if you just looked at the data, it would say, well, it's 95% men. You should go all in on that. And it is true, it was. But if we wanted to expand the market, we had to look at it a little differently. And that ended up being really a really successful strategy for us when we launched it.
You know, one of the things I picked up from what you're saying is, you know, a lot of times when I'm certainly in marketing roles and talking to people, stakeholders in other departments, they very oftentimes looked at marketing as the, you know, their doctor no. They're always about no. And what you've shared here is that really successful marketing is about and, you know, it's about taking one thing that everyone's keyed on. It's a male car, it's military background, everything. And it could be a really, it could really have a cool factor for that target audience that also have to be female. I mean, I think that's, you're right. That's the insight that really, really marks a distinction. When you think about the background and insights that you were able to glean from that sector, how do you think they apply now in a more consumer-facing world? You were with Wahlburgers for a time, and now you're with the Solo brands and the Solo Stove story. You know, how do you think that background has sort of prepared you to hit it out of the park all over again?
Well, I think with Solo brands and Solo Stove in particular, it's very similar. If you think of Solo and the brand, it is a very male brand as well. You know, it's fire, it's outside, et cetera, et cetera. But there is a deeper insight behind it as well, where it is all about connections and memory making. Okay, so it's really, and what we've been doing recently is we are evolving the brand. The brand was heavily fire pits, right? Smokeless fire pits. So it was really sort of got its popularity during COVID when people were isolated and they couldn't get, you know, out of their house. And so people wanted a chance to get in their backyards and make their backyards a gathering point, a place where you could communicate, connect with others as we were all craving at that time. Well, that's really a big insight behind Solo in that it's a natural gathering point. And so one of the things that we're doing now and we're working on is expanding it and expanding our brand beyond just fire pits. But it's still fire pits is our core. It is who we always are. We are great at that. We are the world's most popular smokeless fire pit. We invented a technology that enabled families, singles, friends to come around the fire pit without the nasty kind of over like smelly, smoky, you know, whether it's smoke in your eyes or the smell. You can enjoy it longer. You could have conversations. It is a chance right now. And I think I'm so happy to hear that you're one of our customers. It is almost like there is a fanatical quality about our brand where people are so attached to their fire pit because of the memories they make, the connections they have, making a s'more, having a conversation. And in this day and age, and we just did some research, speaking of insights, where people told us, and we did some research where it was 80% of consumers these days are feeling overwhelmed, isolated. They can't remember the last time they had a real conversation with their kids because they're always on their phones, they're texting. Some of them were telling us they have to make an appointment to have dinner with their spouse. It's become overcomplicated, overtech, so much social media, very stressful. People have a lot of anxiety and feel isolated and disconnected. I think there was, of the folks we surveyed, several also mentioned they'd never met their neighbors. You know, it's become a real problem. And one of the things that our product does is it's inexpensively lets you take this product, put it in your backyard, instant connection. And it's very hard to be around a fire pit, eating a s'more, making a s'more, but talk on your cell phone. So a lot of people say they appreciate so much that they can, you know, for their kids or their moms, they can put their hair in a ponytail, be themselves, disconnect to connect, have friends over, not make a fuss about it, have a conversation, have a glass of wine after work or whatever it is, and really make it a conversation point. And just some of the best memories are created there. And so when we talk about Solo Stove and that happening and that disconnection during COVID, and even now with the world being so crazy as it is, people absolutely want an escape and they want a real, and they're more than ever are craving connection. And we provide that. So we happen to have a technology. It's easy to use. It's affordable. It's accessible from a brand. Our products are engineers, and we are a very engineering-oriented company. I think that's one of the reasons why I love it so much. Back to my engineering background, I absolutely love the fact Marcus, who is our chief project lead, and he runs all product development. He is so passionate about our secondary burns, our patented technology, our flame, and making it the most mesmerizing flame in the industry, and all the stats we learned that we also did another study to build on what we were talking about, where we learned from a neuroscientist, Jennifer Walsh, who was one of our influencers, and we worked with her on this study that talked about how crazy the world is, that if you stare into nature, not just a fire, but any nature for 40 seconds, there's a neurological reaction that you have where your blood pressure lowers, your shoulders come down, relaxation happens. And there's studies that show that. And she works with, as a research assistant with Harvard and Penn, and she's shown that. And so we had a fireside chat together, she and I, and she said, it is absolutely true that getting out, again, fire or just walking in nature as well, will do the same thing. But she had shown a study that just 40 seconds will calm people down. So we understand that we are providing, you know, you talked about your mission and your purpose of education. I feel like our biggest purpose, it ladders up to allowing people to connect and being a company that provides products, not just the fire pits, but our other products that let you get in your own backyard and connect with others.
I absolutely love that story. And I'm going to take a break here, Liz. I have so many more questions, and I want to geek out about the stove itself and the secondary burn. So to our listening and viewing audience, come on and get disrupted with us. We're talking with Liz Vanzura, the chief marketing officer of the stellar brand Solo Stove and Solo Brands now. And she's going to come back to episode 2, and we're going to continue this conversation. Thanks so much for joining us, and come right back for episode 2.